What did Pop say when he got tossed, and how did you find out that it was officially going to be you?
He officially pointed at me. That was it.
And that was it?
That was it. Said, you got him. That was it.
And that's the most Pop story ever. Welcome into The Jump. I'm George Sedano, filling in for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols, joined by NBA champion Kendrick Perkins and ESPN NBA insider covering the Warriors, Nick Friedel. Coming up, we look back and pick our most memorable moments of the strangest NBA season we've seen. But first, let's go back in history here, as Becky Hammon made history last night after Greg Popovich was tossed in the second quarter. Hammon stepped in and became the first woman to act as an NBA head coach. While the Spurs lost the game to LeBron and the Lakers, Hammon's stepping up was a big win for her and the sport.
Obviously, I mean, it's a big deal. It's a substantial moment. I say this a lot, but I try not to think about the huge picture and the huge aspect of it because it can get overwhelming. It's my job to go in there and be focused for those guys and make sure that I'm helping them do the things that will help us win.
Yeah, an unbelievable moment, Perk. So now that Pop has shown trust in Hammon to lead the team in his absence, is she on track to be Pop's ultimate successor whenever he does choose to retire?
Well, George, you know how the Spurs do things. They're trendsetters. They're the ones that love to do things first. And when you look at how things are going, just think about it. When you watch Becky Hammon, when she coached the Summer League team a few years back, she did a phenomenal job. And I do think she is next up in line. I wouldn't be surprised if Pop got thrown out on purpose just to give her this opportunity, because 2020 has been so horrible. And he was saying, you know what? We're going to start 2021 off right. But she's ready. The most important thing that I see, besides her knowing the game, is that the respect that she gets from the players. It's not easy coming in as a woman to coach NBA guys and stars, and the respect that she has around the league from everyone is phenomenal. And I do think she's up next for the head coach as San Antonio Spurs when Pop decides to step down.
Yeah, look, to your point, ultimately game recognizes game, right, Perk? That's the way this works. She's one of the greatest female basketball players we've ever seen. And forget about female. She's one of the greatest basketball players we've ever seen. So she clearly, as you mentioned, is ready for that moment. And look, we're not saying it's happening tomorrow. We're not trying to get rid of you, Pop. But she has clearly shown the ability to handle the position. Now, Hammon wasn't the only person making history last night, as LeBron James, on his 36th birthday, became the first NBA player to ever score at least 10 points in 1,000 consecutive games. That's dating all the way back to 2007. The next two closest in NBA history are Michael Jordan with 866, and of course, the cap, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 787. Perk, I ain't trying to throw shade at you, but the staff might have. They looked up your longest double-digit scoring streak, and it was 9, okay? I ain't throwing the shade at you, though, okay? So let me ask you this. What is the significance of LeBron's streak to you?
You know what? Here it is. He turned 36 yesterday, right? And I'm 36 right now. We came into the league together, and he's still reaching milestones and setting NBA records. And I'm so jealous. I actually wanted him to have the worst birthday ever, and it seemed like he hit another milestone to put the icing on the cake and blow the candles out with a side of vanilla ice cream. But what LeBron James is doing, George, is phenomenal. And just to think, he's almost 2 decades in, and he still have a lot left in the tank. This is not the last time that we're going to be talking about him reaching a certain milestone or breaking a certain record. And it's just, it's beautiful to see, and I'm glad that I'm here living to witness this moment, and I'm not taking anything that LeBron James do for granted.
That's a great point. I do think that, Perk, we struggle at times to really just enjoy people in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. We spend so much time debating one thing or another, like, is he the greatest? Is he not the greatest? Where does he rank this, that, and the other? Man, just appreciate what that dude is doing, what he's done,
yes,
not only individually, but what he's done for this game, what he's done beyond basketball. There's so many things that you can appreciate about him. But even if you don't want to talk about the stuff outside the court, just appreciate what he's been able to accomplish. If you were building a basketball player in a lab, it would look like LeBron James. If he's out of central casting, okay? Right. So that's the way you have to look at this situation when it comes to LeBron James. And I do think that that point you made, Perk, is something that we need to focus more on, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Steph, whether it's any of these superstars that are once-in-a-generation type players.
And absolutely. But, look, take it a step further. He is the ultimate role model. Like, if I wanted my kids to look up to anybody besides me as a basketball player or as an athlete, as a iconic figure, it would be LeBron James. Just think about how he carries himself on and off the court. A family man, married to his high school sweetheart, raising three beautiful kids, raising them the right way, a real father. I know LeBron, so I done been in this home and watch how he interacts with his family and how he set family's time aside. So just watching him grow from knowing him since the age of, 13, and watching him become the man that he is off the court is also special. And I believe that we have to appreciate him now, because when he walks away from the game of basketball is really going to miss him.
Yeah, there's going to be a huge void. By the way, Perk, when you had that 9-game double-digit scoring streak, I feel like you could have kept it going if Rondo would have given you the ball more, okay?
Hey, they was hating on me. They was hating on me, man. Hey, look, I always mess with Doc Rivers and tell him, I said, look, man, you held me back from being a franchise guy. You turned me into a role player at an early age. And his response is that, Perk, I made you a winner. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, it wasn't just the big three in Boston. It was the big five. You and Rondo, too. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go. There was no, speaking of Doc Rivers, his former team, the Clippers, there was no additional beef last night between Paul George, Pat Bev, and Dame, as the newly masked Kawhi and the Clippers routed the Blazers yesterday, 128-105. L.A. held Lillard to 0-for-8 from 3. Here's Kawhi talking about his new accessory.
Did your teammates give you a hard time at all about the mask?
I mean, it's hard to breathe in that mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully this could help me out in the future. But, I mean, yeah, they start calling me Leatherface and stuff, but Serge can't talk too much. We got him on a trading block right now, so whoever wants him, let us know. We're trying to trade Serge.
Now, Perk, obviously Serge is obviously not on the trading block. He was kidding around, which I think is funny because, look, Kawhi is supposed to be a fun guy, right? That's what we've heard about him.
Mm-hmm.
But the mask, whose mask? Who wore it better? The all-time mask man, Richard Hamilton, or Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, it's Richard Hamilton. I mean, like, he set the trend. Like, that matched him. When you thought of Richard, when you thought of him, you knew that his mask, when he had that mask on, he was going to be on the tap. I don't know what that was Kawhi had on, but whatever it was he had on, he was on the mission. The mask worked because I haven't seen Kawhi this intense in a long time. And yeah, he's a phenomenal basketball player. But, George, I guess it was the mask, but he was on a mission last night. He was on a mission. So if he's going to play like this, wearing that ugly mask, then if I'm Ty Lue, I'm going to tell him, you got to keep this on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. And, yeah, Rip Hamilton is the all-time mask man in the NBA. Although, we were talking about LeBron earlier. Remember, LeBron wore that black mask back in the day with the Heat when he busted his nose that one time. He looked like, you know, something out of like a cartoon type movie, like a superhero movie. But anyway, yeah, Let's move on to the game, Perk. The Clippers are now 4-1, including a win over the Lakers and LeBron James, including a win over Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. And now the Blazers, three of the top teams in the Western Conference. They do have that 51-point loss to Dallas, which is their only blemish. But what kind of statement did the Clippers make last night?
They made a huge statement. With all the riffraff that was going on between the Blazers and the Clippers, I thought the Clippers took this game personal, and they wanted to send a message, and they did just that. From the jump, they set the tone. They approached this game like it was a playoff game. They were into the Blazers' airspace. They were contesting shots, making them miss, not hoping that they miss. And on the other end, they were attacking. They were attacking downhill. They were getting out, playing with great pace. They were tied on the string. And this is the Clippers team that we have been wanting to see. They look fun. They was fun to watch last night. You could tell Ty Lue is preaching team ball because they're passing up good shots to get great shots. This is the Clippers team that I've been expecting, and they looked phenomenal last night. I got to give credit where credit's due.
I'll say this. I thought you brought up a great point about Kawhi specifically, just kind of his demeanor. I think the team in general this season has a different demeanor so far, Perk. You know, outside of that one ridiculous game against the Mavericks, I mean, they look like they are all business so far this season. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment, and especially Paul George. He has been playing phenomenal right now. Like, if you had to take five guys that would be in the MVP conversation for the first week of the NBA season, Paul George's name should be mentioned. And he's doing a lot of things. I'm watching his playmaking ability. We all know that he could put the ball in the basket, but the way that he's using the pick and roll, throwing lobs to Big Zubac at the rim, Big Zubac at the rim, and facilitating for others. I mean, when you look at guys like Nicholas Batum, who seems like to me he is having fun, and I'm watching him play. We haven't seen him play at this level in a long time. He's defending at a high level. He's knocking down shots. He's causing havoc up in the paint. Pat Bev is doing what Pat Bev do. It's just, hey, they wanted Ty Lue. Ty Lue is there, and it seemed like a big change. I hate to say it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any question. The Batum thing is going to be big for them, too. So far, to your point, he has played his role perfectly. All right, coming up next, despite coming up short against the Brooklyn Nets last night, did the Hawks validate their place in the East playoff race? The Nets survived the Hawks, and Trae Young had 30 points with a 145-141 win for the Nets. Kyrie and KD combined for 33 in the fourth quarter alone to hold on for that particular win, and the pace was almost too much for Nets coach Steve Nash to handle. Let's take a listen.
As a young coach, it's hard when you can't impact the game the way you're used to impacting. And so, but the guys hung in. That's the number one thing. I mean, you're not always going to win the way we want to win. Holding teams down tonight, we couldn't stop them, but we finally got enough stops to let our offense get going. And I definitely need a beer.
You may need a lot of beers when you're coaching in the NBA, Steve. Get used to that. All right, Perk, who are you more impressed by, the Nets holding on or the Hawks pushing them to the limit?
The Hawks pushing them to the limit. I had the Hawks making the playoffs this year, but I think they're going to be a dangerous out in the Eastern Conference, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Trae Young is unguardable. They have a lot of firepower offensively, and now they have a leader. They're well coached, but they have a leader in Playoff Rondo, and once this team continue to keep building and going in the right direction, come playoff time, they are going to be dangerous, and they're going to be scary, and no one is going to want to see this young Hawks team.
George, KD and Kyrie are unbelievable. They are so much fun to watch. But I'm looking at these games and I'm looking at that game last night. I'm thinking, where the hell is the defense in the league? Why is there nobody playing lockdown defense the way we've seen in years past? Why are all these scores so unbelievably high all the time? So for as much offensive talent as there is, and as fun as Trae Young is to watch play, and KD when he's healthy and rolling like he is, why can't the defense come in, and when's it going to be happening at some point this season?
Yeah, for sure. I, by the way, I'm with Perk on this as far as the Hawks are concerned. It's funny, Perk, because they kind of, again, different makeup. But when you said hard out, right, or tough out in the first round, It reminds me of that Boston team that faced an Atlanta team that got pushed to seven in the first round. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this mm-hmm. team has that kind of upside, that kind of capability, because we didn't know the Baby Hawks back then with Josh Smith and Joe Johnson and that particular group. Al Horford, right, was on that team. Jeff Teague. We didn't know what they were going to be. They eventually were a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals and faced LeBron James and company. But we saw kind of that first iteration that year, and I think this Hawks team can be something like that. Do you agree, Perk?
I agree cold-heartedly. Look, with the additions that they added, for us getting Bogdanovich and the growth of Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, and now they have Clint Capella, who's a guy that could grab all the rebounds and block shots, and Collins. Collins is so underrated, and the good thing about Collins is that he's playing for something. He didn't get the contract extension. He has a chip on his shoulder. But I'm going to tell you, Trae Young is a top five player right now in the NBA. He cannot be guarded. You talk about Steph Curry, but this guy is Steph Curry 2.0, in my opinion, because of the way he's able to facilitate and make plays for others. But it's no other player in the league, probably other than James Harden, that I noticed that teams send traps at him as soon as he crossed half court or go boxing ones on him. They do it to Steph Curry a little bit, but Trae Young is on a whole nother level right now.
Nick, you obviously cover Steph Curry. What do you see as far as similarities with Trae Young?
They hate those comparisons, first and foremost, George. When you talk to Steph and you talk to Trae Young, they're like, those guys, they are their own players, and they want to make sure the comparisons don't stick, but it's offensively, they can get whatever shot they want whenever they want it. What I would say in watching the two the first couple of years here of Young's career, Steph is a little bit of a better defender. Trae Young, as great as he is offensively, that's where the real red flag is to me. I don't think Steph gets enough credit for the kind of defender that he has been at times. Trae Young, in order to take that next step, he's got to play defense at a much better pace than we've seen so far.
George, did Nick just say that Steph was a better defender? First of all, let Nick stop it right now, okay? Neither one of those guys are playing any type of defense, okay? Let's nip that
Come
in the bud.
Come on, Steph's understand. Been much better the last couple of years.
Yeah, because he's not guarding anybody. It's easy to guard somebody who just stand in the corner. Let's like, come on now. I know you cover the Warriors, but let's keep it real right now. But look, I want to say this. Think about this. John Collins turned down a 4-year extension for $90 million. So that goes to show me that he's betting on himself. And with a guy doing that, turning down $90 million, he has to perform at an elite level or all-star level. And he's doing that thus far. This Hawks team is going to be very, very dangerous come playoff time. Trust me.
Yep, I'm with you, Perk, for sure. All right, coming up, as we wind down 2020, we look back at a few of our most memorable moments from an unforgettable year. Stay tuned. You're watching The Jump. Welcome back to The Jump. In a few hours, we'll be celebrating the beginning of 2021. 2020 was a unique year, to say the least, from Kobe passing away, to COVID, to social justice causes and messages, Orlando being the center of the basketball world, upsets, tons of upsets, and of course the Lakers winning a title. So Perk, what moment from the NBA's 2020 season will you remember the most?
Well, I have two moments. One is that the Miami Heat, them goons from Dade County, beat the Milwaukee Bucks in this playoff series like we said they were going to do, George. You and I kept preaching, and everybody was telling us that we was crazy. You know, we need to get some rest, but they showed up for us. But the most important thing that happened in 2020 was how the NBA Brotherhood, and all the players came together for in social justice and united as one to start interacting and being proactive in their communities. For us, you know, more than a vote, you know, boycotting games to get messages heard, holding owners accountable. That was the most memorable thing for me in 2020, is how the Brotherhood of the NBA united and came together and wanted to address issues that's outside of basketball in the real world.
Perk, I'm right there with you with the Heat. That is my moment to see Jimmy Butler change the narrative about himself and to lead that team through the bubble. The mental toughness that he and the rest of that group showed was unbelievable. And for somebody who wasn't always sure, dating back to his time in Chicago, Jimmy could get a team there. If he could put everybody else on his back and make it happen, to see that, that's the thing I'm going to remember the most about this whole year.
Look, I'm with you guys on everything that you've already discussed, from the social messages, obviously, for the social causes, just everything that we've had to endure. But in regards to Jimmy Butler, if we can show that picture one more time of him being exhausted, right, at the end of that game with the triple-double, like, this, that game right there, okay, where he literally left it all on the court, right, was as inspiring a moment as we've seen from a guy who wasn't considered a quote-unquote superstar at that point. That right there really surmised his whole, basically, his whole season, his whole bubble experience and the Heat's bubble experience. But I'll say this, even pre-bubble, there's some moments for me. The Elam ending, we forgot about, I know it feels like a million years ago now, but the All-Star game, the Elam ending was awesome. I thought I was very skeptical going into the Elam ending conversation, but it was the best thing the NBA could have done, and I hope they continue doing it moving forward. So that, obviously LeBron winning his fourth title, I thought that was as big as anything, and enduring all the stuff that they've had to endure. I know LeBron has talked about all the different challenges that he's faced in all the championships he's won. The first one obviously was difficult on its own. The second one against the Spurs obviously for a lot of reasons was difficult, and the way they had to come back and win that series. We know about 2016 because Perk was there, but enduring what they had to endure in the bubble and overcoming all of that stuff I thought was huge as well. So those are my faves for 2020. Hashtag 2020 faves. All right, the Warriors didn't have much success in 2020. But they'll be getting some help here pretty soon. Steve Kerr says that Draymond Green could return to action as soon as Friday's home opener against the Blazers. So, Nick, after the gap year with Steph and Klay out last season, is Draymond able to return to peak form, you think, and help this team?
I think this year, George, he can get to that level that we've seen in the postseason before. And there's two reasons why I believe that. First and foremost, he's coming into this year after 9 months off in the best shape that we've seen him in years. He feels good. He had to go through the COVID protocols, but he's in a much better space than he's been. And secondly, he knows what it's like to be on his own as he was last season after Steph got hurt early in that gap year. And George, Draymond is a really proud guy. He doesn't want to leave Steph out to dry, even if this Warriors team isn't the same caliber a group as we've seen in years past. So I believe that he's going to have a really solid season. And I really believe that he's going to help James Wiseman as that mentor and tutor that the 19-year-old needs.
I strongly agree with you. And one thing I've learned and we should all learn is to never doubt Draymond Green. He always defeats the odds. And after coming off a pretty horrible season last year, a lot of lows with far as him not being able to produce like he's capable of doing, with Steph coming back, having Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins, now the offense is going to run more fluid. Now Draymond Green could be Draymond Green, and that's a point forward, a guy who initiates the offense, a guy who makes plays for others, a guy that could throw lobs to James Wiseman at the rim for wide open for dunks, a guy that could be that defensive player of the year type caliber player again, because he don't have to do so much on the offensive end. One thing about Draymond is that, like you said, Nick, he's very prideful, and I'll keep preaching to people, he is the heart and soul of the Golden State Warriors. He gives them swagger. And now that the Golden State Warriors are 2-2, getting Draymond back, now their energy level is going to go up, their swag is going to go up, and he's going to instill that confidence in these other guys like Wiggins, Oubre, Pascal and Wiseman. I'm looking forward to Draymond having a phenomenal season this year.
Yeah, I think we all are. We all miss Draymond. Look, we love Draymond for a lot of reasons. He's a great quote, but I think people have forgotten that he's a great player too. And when you put him together with Steph Curry in this system, even though I don't think this Warriors team without Klay can be a top four seed and be a home court advantage team, I still think they could fight for a playoff spot. I think Draymond will absolutely help them with that. All right, coming up, Jaylen Brown dropped a career-high 42 points last night against Memphis. Is he taking another leap forward in Boston? All right, we'll discuss that in just a moment. But first, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Our pal, Ramona Shelburne, Mama Momo, digs into the maturation of Joel Embiid, including why he voted against going into the bubble and what he was hiding while he was actually there. Check it out on ESPN.com and ESPN app. That's the opening bell, meaning the stat market has opened up for you for today. We give you some early trends, and you tell us whether you're buying or selling. Let's start with Jaylen Brown, who lit up the Grizzlies last night with a career-high 42 points. He's now at 28 points per game, putting him in the top 10 in the league right now. So, Perk, are you buying or selling Jaylen as an elite scorer this season?
I'm emptying out my bank account, George. I am buying. Jaylen Brown is on a mission. And it started last year in the bubble in the playoffs. When Gordon Haywood went out, he went to another level. So now this sample size that everyone else is seeing, I picked Jaylen Brown to be my most improved player this season because he is a guy that works on this game. He gets better every single year. He has zero flaws in his game offensively. It's nothing that he can't do. He don't have the flash and all the step backs and between the leg crossovers. But he gets the job done. He has the mid-range. He has a trade ball. He can slash to the basket. He can play on the ball, off the ball. He's good in pick and roll. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of Jaylen Brown. I am buying.
Perky's got a lot of talent, but I'm selling for the time being. Because here's why. When you're trying to make it as an elite scorer and you take that next step, you do it in the postseason. When your team needs you the most and when you can help the rest of that roster. So Jaylen Brown may show us this postseason that he's crossed that bridge. Right now, I am not buying it yet. I think he's still got some growth to do.
Yeah, but Nick, he showed us that last postseason.
They couldn't get past Miami. They needed somebody else to get through, and he didn't help them to that level.
But wait, that was more on Kemba, I thought.
Yeah, that was more on Kemba. Jaylen Brown was the best player on the Boston Celtics last year. He was the most consistent. When you go back and look at his numbers, he elevated his game tremendously in the postseason. I'm not going off of this sample size of what I seen this season. I'm talking about from what I saw last season before the bubble, before the pandemic. He was averaging 20 points and wasn't getting a play call from on 50% shooting. When he got to the bubble and Gordon Haywood went out, he elevated his game tremendously. And now that Gordon Haywood is gone and Kemba is hurt, he's doing exactly what I expected him to do, and that's be a top-tier scorer in this league today because now he's a focal point. The offense is actually ran through him and Jason Tatum, and he's not a fourth option no more. He's a 1A, 1B type option.
All right, I'm with Perk. I'm buying here. I think he's added to his game basically every season, as he's pointed out. Everything has gotten a little better every season. All right, moving on to Trae Young, who's leading the league with 15.5 free throw attempts per game. He got to the line 16 times last night against the Nets and is averaging more free throw attempts per game right now than the entire Toronto Raptors team. Nick, are you buying or selling Trae Young free throws pace?
I'm selling right now, George, because this is James Harden's domain. James Harden is the guy. He's the one that always finds a way to make it happen going to the rim. So as good as Trae is offensively, this is still James Harden's beat.
Nick, I have to disagree with you again, and I hate to go into the new year being argumental, but I am fine. Trae Young cannot be guarded. It's only two things that you can hope that happen. One is that he don't show up to the arena or he just missing his shots. He's going to get to the free throw line because no one could guard him. Now, they try to put two people on him. He sees boxes and ones. He knows how to get to the free throw line because his capability of him knocking down shots. So I'm buying. He is possibly going to lead the league in free throw attempts this season.
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I'm holding. I still think James Harden would probably be that guy. So I'm going to slightly sell, but hold on potentially to some of my money to maybe buy in later. All right, that's the closing bell. Hit it. Let's go. Let me hear it. All right, that means the stat market is over for today. Coming up, We'll give you our NBA New Year's resolutions for 2021. What are your hoop wishes for next season? Or next year, actually. All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. One night after getting blown out by 47 points by the Bucks, the Heat came back and beat Milwaukee last night. Nick, what was your biggest takeaway from the Heat's rebound win?
This is a team that knows how to bounce back, George. They're mentally strong. They've proven it time and time again. And there's no debating when they need to find a way to win, no matter who's on the floor, Eric Spoelstra is going to get that team to play at a different level.
I would have to go with Bam. Bam out of the Bayou. And yes, I know I say his last name wrong, but I don't care, George. Y'all know what I mean. But we have to start giving him credit. He's elevated his playmaking ability. He's elevated his leadership. What I'm seeing out of him, he's going to put up the stats. I think he almost notched a triple-double last night. I think he was almost two assists away from having a triple-double. But when I'm looking at Bam and I'm watching him dive on the floor for loose balls and setting the tone, being more active for speaking to others and encouraging and holding guys accountable, he is a special player. He's a top five big in the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, speaking of the Heat, our Brian Windhorst mentioned on the Hoop Collective podcast, that's his podcast, subscribe to Brian's podcast, of course, that the Heat would probably need to trade Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson in any potential Harden trade. Brian also kind of said that the Heat basically took themselves out of the running, perhaps to cool off the market a little bit. They'd have to throw in more assets, obviously, than just those two, but what do you think about the Heat trying to acquire Harden? Let's start with you, Nick.
If it's me, I'm making that deal, George. What's the one thing that Miami needs one more of in the playoffs, in the finals? It's the guy to hand the ball off to and say, go score and make this happen at the end of the game. As great as Jimmy is and as great as Bam is and is going to be, they need that one extra star. If Harden's the guy and the deal's there, if I'm Pat Riley, I'm making it.
Well, it's hard to just jump the gun and pass up on an MVP candidate, but I'm not making the deal. And here's why. When you look at the Heat, they have a thing called culture, one of the best organizations that have established culture. They know they have an identity, and it's been around for a long period of time. I wouldn't give up two guys that I built through player development and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, two guys that could shoot the lights out. One thing that you need in the NBA is you need spacing, you need shooting. And the way that their offense is constructed, ran through Bam, him being the facilitator, a lot of dribble handoffs, a lot of pick-to-pick actions, they fit well in that. I don't know how James Harden would fit in that Miami system. Would he take away from Bam? Would he take away from Jimmy? I know one thing. All these guys with the Miami Heat right now complement each other very, very nicely.
You guys make great points, but I'm with Nick. Bring me the beard. I love guys with beards, Perk. That's why you and I get along so well. All right, next, no New Year's Eve off for the NBA. Let's see today's seven-game slate in our league pass game of the night. The last NBA unbeaten, the Orlando Magic, will host the 76ers on NBA TV. But on League Pass, our choice is Kings-Rockets. My pal Mark Jones on the call there for the Kings. That's at 7 Eastern, where John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, and Eric Gordon are cleared from quarantine for the Rockets and expected to play. Wall and Boogie couldn't wait to be cleared. Take a listen.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was get a haircut in my apartment. And one of my teammates had tested positive the next day, and then the next six or seven days, the next like four or five tests I had all came back negative. So it was like, I was with me and three people getting a haircut. Like, I can't get a haircut. I'd rather cut in my apartment than be in a barbershop somewhere where random people is coming in constantly. And then even the barber tested negative, so.
Oh, I was excited. I loved it. I had a blast at home.
Perk, how do you expect Wall and Boogie to fit with Harden?
I think they'll fit just perfect with Harden and Christian Woods. I'm excited to see it, and it's going to be a great test because the Kings are playing inspired basketball, so I'm looking forward to watching this game tonight.
George, I got the Kentucky connection. It's going to work real quickly with Harden.
All right, so let's close. I think they're going to fit fine. Like, you put a lot of stars together, you're good. So, all right, as we close our last jump of 2020, I want to hear what 2021 New Year's resolution you guys have. Nick, let's start with you.
I want to see the Clippers do what they were supposed to do last year, George. This is a team that can win the title. Let's see if they can make it work.
Perk?
I want to see a big man win the MVP award, a real big, a five.
I think the league needs LeBron versus KD. They need a rivalry. Let's do it.